To tonight's wrestling match. Glad you could make it. We have a lot of stuff to cover tonight, including a plot that is unfolding in Wisconsin. You folks that listen on the mic in Madison, pay attention to this. This will come up a little bit later in the program tonight. To start off, last-minute email here from Steve in Laverne, California. Mike, the big story here in Southern California today was the arrest of 8 current and former City of Bell, California officials. Yeah, I saw that on the news tonight, huh? Steve writes, whether it's an election year or not, I give kudos to Jerry Brown and L.A. District Attorney Steve Cooley for the handling of this matter. However, watching this today, I couldn't help but think if this had been done on a national level, specifically the Bush-Cheney crime family. Guilty of the theft of elections, the blatant disregard of democratic principles, torture, lying the country into war, war profiteering, the needless death of our troops, the needless death of Afghan and Iraqi civilians. The list goes on and on. How wonderful it would have been to see those miserable miscreants marched out in jumpsuits as orange as John Boehner. But then I've always dreamed in color. Steve in Laverne, California. Yeah, I watched that today. The charge of misappropriation of public funds, which is heavy-duty felony any place in the country, those are the charges. Of course, you know, they're certainly not guilty, as they say on Cops, my favorite program. All defendants are guilty until proven, or innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Ah! Sounds like the old Jack Webb series, doesn't it? Anyway, watching those guys being marched out, the ones who were paying themselves $1 million a year to run a city of, what, 30,000, 50,000? I don't know. It was a very small city while city services were ignored. It sounds like Bush and Cheney. They didn't pay themselves. They're prohibited by the Constitution or something. The Constitution? No, not the Constitution. I guess by the federal rules. Or they're prohibited by something. So what they did was just pay off their capitalist corporate buddies, knowing full well that they would get plenty in return when the time came. That was the big story in Southern California. The big story in the country is once again the filthy, disgusting Senate Republicans blocked another Obama administration concerning human rights, civil rights. The Obama administration had made an effort to end the Don't Ask, Don't Tell nonsense that prevents openly gay and lesbian Americans from serving in the armed forces. Passed 17 years ago, by Democrats, by the way, you rotten bastards. So today, Democrats failed to find the 60 votes needed to begin debate. Just debate. This is what the Republicans do. This is what makes the Democrats pee their own pants. They just run scattering like ducks, you know. Quack, 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 quack. Running away. Huh? 60 votes they needed to begin debate. 60 votes would have guaranteed no filibuster. When are the Democrats ever, well, they're not going to, but wouldn't a better tactic be for the Democrats just to call a vote and let the Republicans filibuster? What's the big deal? Let them. Let the nation see on an hour-to-hour, minute-to-minute, day-to-day basis the disgusting, contemptible bastards that now represent the Republican Party. Hmm? No, but not the Democrats. Ooh, I'm going to pee my pants. No, no. So they called for a vote, and the Democrats did not have the 60 votes needed to shut off filibuster and begin debate on the 2011 defense authorization bill that includes language to repeal the Clinton-era rule on gays and lesbians in the military. So does that mean that the defense authorization bill is dead for 2011? Wouldn't that be wonderful? No. They'll figure out a way to continue to pour blood and treasure into these battlefields set up by capitalist America. The 56-43 vote follow party lines with Republicans threatening to filibuster. Ooh, ooh, and the Democrats all heading for the cloakroom where they had to change their pants because they just peed themselves sitting at their desks. Ooh, a filibuster. Oh, no. Oh, no. Two Democratic senators, both from Arkansas. Huh? Mark Pryor and Blanche Lincoln supported Republicans in opposing debate on the bill. Debate. Is Obama still trying to reach across the aisle? Is Obama still talking bipartisanship? Huh? Is he still? Probably. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said, quote, Republicans are again playing politics with our national security. Today they blocked the Senate from debating a bill that would give our troops the resources they need to keep America safe, stopping not only funding for combat vehicles and bulletproof vests or measures to improve our military's readiness, but even a well-earned pay raise to help our troops and their families make ends meet. That's what was in the bill. That's what the Republicans stopped. Now, did they filibuster because all these resources that would be handed over to this bloated, disgusting, imperialistic military? No. Republicans love that kind of stuff. Are you kidding me? Republicans love the death and the murder and the destruction and the invasion and the chaos. They love it, as long as it's not their sons and daughters. They love it. Republicans voted against it because Republicans hate gay people. Republicans hate people of color. Republicans hate immigrants. Republicans hate everybody except middle-aged white people that look exactly like them. Above a certain income level, of course. Blocking the defense bill also stalled something called the DREAM Act. It was a piece of legislation designed to pave the road towards citizenship for illegal immigrants enrolled in higher education. The DREAM Act would have provided a shortcut to citizenship for people who are willing to take a risk, roll the dice, put on the uniform of the United States military, and go oppress other non-American people around the planet. And if they survived and did not come home and commit suicide, did not have their brains blown off, did not get the three or four limbs sheared off in an IED, if they did not commit suicide, if they went through all that fighting for capitalist America, they might be able to get their citizenship. How disgusting. What a filthy thing to do. I'm sorry, the DREAM Act sucks. And whoever came up with that, Democrats, Obama, I don't care. Here you go, boys and girls. Tell you what. Put on this uniform. Let's go kill people and participate in an illegal invasion and occupation of just any country we pick. And you, too, can become an American. Congress has approved the annual Pentagon authorization bill for 48 consecutive years until today. What happened? Did the Republicans all of a sudden decide they wanted peace in our time? That they wanted an end to the corruption that is the military-industrial complex? The corruption that is so deep, so wide, so broad, so pervasive that it affects every single corner of American society? Is that why they voted no? Did the Republicans vote no because immoral, illegal wars are not Christian? I don't think so. I think the Republicans voted no because Obama wanted them to vote yes. A, B, it would legitimize a group of people who are legitimate anyway. There's nothing these filthy Republicans can do to delegitimize people who happen to be gay, or who happen to be Jewish, or who happen to be brown, or who happen to be black, or who happen to be anything. There's nothing they can do. So they have these little spasms in the Senate. No, we're not going to vote for him. No, we're not going to do it. So for the first time in 48 years, the U.S. military thanks to the Republicans, is operating with no promise of any budget. Now, will it be taken care of? Of course it'll be taken care of. But isn't this what the Republicans always say the Democrats do? The Democrats are the ones who always put our fighting men and women at risk. Right? No, they never have. So for the first time in half a century, it happened today. And who did it? The Republicans. Why aren't the Democrats shouting that from every podium they can get their little urine-soaked arms around, huh?
Defining anger management. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Now, part of the subtext to the story about the Senate vote today, all the Republicans and two Democrats. Deciding to vote against the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Gordon in Oklahoma City let me know about this. Joe My God's website, Blogspot, Joe My God website, who Joe My God is, progressive. And under the subject discussing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, there was a comment posted there today that said, all faggots must die. Well, you know, it's getting harder and harder for cowardly sons of bitches to post things on a website and then run back under the carpet or behind the woodwork from where they came. It's getting harder and harder to do that. Some of Joe's readers, possessing the necessary computer skills, tracked this rat bastard down. They found out who sent it. Now, they don't have a specific name yet, but guess where it came from? It came from right here in Georgia. From Senator Saxby Chambliss' office. All faggots must die. Joe, My God himself, he got on the phone and talked with Atlanta Journal-Constitution political writer Jim Galloway, who says that Senator Saxby Chambliss has confirmed that the all faggots must die comment left at the JMG site earlier today did indeed come from his Atlanta office. The political writer for the AJC, Jim Galloway, said that Chambliss told him his office is conducting an internal investigation. And this is the statement issued, a preliminary statement issued by Saxby Chambliss's spokesperson. Quote, we have seen the allegations and are moving quickly to understand the facts. This office has not and will not tolerate any activity of the sort alleged. That's according to Chambliss spokeswoman Bronwyn Chester. She also added, once we have ascertained whether these claims are true, we will take the appropriate steps, end quote. And according to the AJC, the comment was posted on Joe My God, a blog dedicated to gay and lesbian issues. And it was the post was left there by a commenter identifying himself as Jimmy. The owner of the blog, the author, Joseph Jervis of New York City, used the Internet Protocol address attached to the comment to trace the slur to the neighborhood of Chambliss' office in Atlanta. Readers quickly helped. Jervis said, among the fields in which gay people are overrepresented is the IT field. The office of U.S. Senator Johnny Isaacson is in the same area, but a spokeswoman for Isaacson said his staff quickly ascertained that the message did not originate with them. It's Republicans hate everything American. They hate everything that is in fact normal, but deviates from what they consider to be normalcy. Therefore, a Muslim is an object of hatred. A gay person, object of hatred. Person of color, object of hatred. Someone who would like to regulate guns in this degenerate society, object of hatred. Just make up your own list. The Republicans hate them all, except the same middle-aged white people that do the same thing that they do forever and ever, world without end. Amen. I've said it before. I don't know what these white people think, these so-called teabaggers, Republicans, conservatives, whatever you want to call them. Do they think they have an exclusive franchise on eternal life? Is that it? I know they believe in this religious horse snot, but let me tell you something, baggers. You're like everybody else. You really are. You're going to die. And some of you baggers are going to die really painful, awful deaths. So, knowing that you're mortal like everybody else, why don't you do something, anything, to make life a little easier for the people who are going to come behind you? I'll talk more about this later tonight. Filthy thugs. God. Oh, also, there's a story breaking out of Atlanta. I'll do it when we come back because we got a break here. One of the big Christian pastors here in Atlanta, who is just, absolute, another one of these absolute fiery anti-gay preachers. His name is Pastor Eddie Long. His church has 25,000 members. Eddie Long, the Reverend Eddie Long. It's where the funeral for Coretta Scott King's, the funeral was held there when Coretta Scott King, the widow of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., passed. Bush and three previous presidents attended. Guess what Reverend Eddie Long is accused of?
Let Mike Malloy do it for you.
25 before the hour. Before I move on to this Bishop Eddie Long story, email here from Nick. Mike, my dad served in the military overseas in the 60s, and where both my brother and I were born. He was gay. He was born gay, as I believe everyone that is gay was born that way. He hid who he was and served with honor during a time of war. And there was no problem, other than the fact that he had to hide who he was. His parents were strict Christians, and he was raised that gay people were sinners and would go to hell. So he hid who he was. He enlisted in the military, got married, had three kids, and was miserable because he had to hide who he was and lived a double life. The truth came out and destroyed my family, pretty much. I was a senior in high school. My little sister dropped out. She was a freshman. My older brother moved out. And, of course, my parents divorced. But the true tragedy is that people should not have to hide who they are. The vote today was a disgrace, and the senators should be ashamed that this kind of bigotry and hatred continues in this country. Thanks for listening, Mike. Nick. We are really sick. Not me. I'm healthy as I could possibly be. Not you. You're healthy, too. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Bishop Eddie Long. Let me tell you about Bishop Eddie Long. His church has more than 25,000 members. It was the site of Greta Scott King's 2006 funeral, attended by then-President George W. Bush and three previous presidents. Greta Scott King, of course, the widow of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Two civil suits were filed today in DeKalb County, Georgia, not far from here, alleging that Bishop Eddie Long used his position as a spiritual authority and bishop to coerce young male members and employees of his New Birth Missionary Baptist Church into sex. Bishop Long has a reputation of being one of the most virulently homophobic black leaders in the religiously based anti-gay movement. That's according to an article in 2007 in the Southern Poverty Law Center's magazine. He denounces homosexual behavior in the most vicious way every and any chance this man gets. He is considered to be one of the nation's top black preachers. His race is immaterial. I include it because it's in the article. The suit filed alleged, quote, defendant Long has a pattern and practice of singling out a select group of young male church members and using his authority as bishop over them to ultimately bring them to a point of engaging in a sexual relationship, end quote. The suit goes on. Before I get to that, this man of God took one plaintiff, a guy named Anthony Flagg, 21, on overnight trips to a half dozen American cities in recent years, according to Flagg's suit. The suit went on to say, quote, Long shared a bedroom and engaged in intimate sexual contact with plaintiff Flagg, including kissing, massaging, masturbating of plaintiff Flagg by defendant Long, and oral sexual contact, end quote. Long took the other plaintiff, Maurice Murray Robinson, age 20, to Auckland, New Zealand in October 2008 for his 18th birthday and engaged in oral sex with him. Robinson's suit says, quote, following the New Zealand trip, defendant Long regularly engaged in sexual touching and other sexual acts with plaintiff Robinson. A spokesman for Reverend Eddie Long, Art Franklin, who I don't think is his attorney, a spokesman said, we categorically deny the allegations. Now, the only reason this story or any story like this is worth putting out there, CNN popped this on their website about 8:20 this evening. The only reason, as far as I'm concerned, is the utter and absolute, once again, massive hypocrisy. I don't care if they're black, white, Jew, Gentile, gay, not gay, but whatever they are. You show me somebody who is virulently anti-gay, and I will show you a person who is a closeted homosexual and can't deal with his reality. Simply can't do it. And as a result, this person will make sure that gay folk in this country suffer more and more and more. You know, it makes me wonder, how many of those Republican senators that voted today no on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, most of them are just drones who do what capitalist America tells them to do and do it now. That's what they're told to do. But I wonder, aside from that, how many of them are deeply closeted gay men or gay women? Not that many women senators, but you got to wonder, right? How many of them are voting in the way that they vote on this particular issue because of their own self-loathing? Because they, too, are victims of a society that says, here's the norm, white, straight, Christian, native, if you deviate from that in any way. Depending on the degree of the, quote, deviation, you're doomed. You're Muslim, you're Jewish, you're black or brown, you're gay, you're liberal, you're progressive, you're a woman. Your ass is very replaceable. So anyway, I'm sure the story will get some play. Maybe only here. Well, no, the Reverend Eddie Long, you see, he's the pastor of one of those mega churches. 25,000 members. That's not a church. That's not a church. 25. What did Jesus say? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there is my church. 25,000 people who cluster around a charismatic leader who tells them how to make money and how to hate gay folk and how to support the Republicans and how to be very proud that your nation involves itself in wars against the dirty, rotten, filthy terrorists. Any person who does that is no more a Christian preacher than I am. So, Reverend Eddie Long, he, by the way, was one of the preachers who, and I don't know how I reacted, I don't know how I responded, there were several that the Justice Department decided to investigate to see if the money that they were taking in was being used in a manner that was consistent with federal law, where it concerned people who had a tax designations as church. And I'm not sure about Reverend Eddie Long. I don't know. I know there's another one down here named Reverend Creflo Dollar. That's his name. And he has one of those big-ass churches, too. I mean, his church might have, oh, I don't know, not as big as Reverend Eddie's, but probably 15, 18, 20,000 members. And I think Reverend Creflo Dollar, who has a couple, three Rolls Royces, doing Jesus' work. Yes, by God, amen. And diamond pinky rings. I think he told the investigators from the Justice Department to kiss his butt and refuse to cooperate. I think one of these two guys, Creflo Dollar or Eddie Long. Don't you love that name? Hey, this is the South. This is Georgia. Reverend Creflo Dollar. Makes you want to holler. Reverend Eddie Long makes you feel that you belong. So we'll see how this story plays out, right? Oh, so much ground to cover, so little time. Did you see the video tonight on the news from Florida? The dad apologizing for acting like a bully when he stormed onto a school bus to confront students that were harassing his 13-year-old daughter who has cerebral palsy. Did you see that? I saw that story, and I can't help it. I mean, you don't get on a school bus and terrorize seventh graders. Well, not terrorize, but you don't get on a bus where the seventh graders and start screaming and yelling. You just don't. But here's a man whose little girl, who he obviously loves, going to a public school. She has cerebral palsy. And according to reports that are starting to come out now, these little demons on the school bus were just torturing her, poking her, cursing at her, making fun of her, pushing her, pulling her hair. And finally, Dad lost it. Finally, Dad lost it and got on the school bus and told everybody on the school bus and used pretty strong language. You keep doing this to my daughter and I'll kill you. Hey, I mean, you know, you don't say that to 13-year-olds. But the video is out there on YouTube now. His name is Jones, James Jones. And when I saw the report, saw the video of what he did on the bus, and then saw his tearful apology today with his wife and a couple other people standing with him, I felt very sorry for him. And except for the threatening the kids, I certainly understand why he did what he did.
Show. Talk radio matters here.
10 before the hour. Stick around because thanks to Daily Coast today, we have some information about what an unholy triad of the Koch brothers with their prosperity bullcrap, the teabaggers, and the Republican Party are trying to do to Wisconsin in the election coming up November 2nd. So stick around for that. And if they can do it in Wisconsin, they're organizing other places too. Prairie 2 has a report for us today. The stock markets ended mixed today after the Federal Reserve announced they will keep the interest rate they charged the big banks at zero. This is intended to reassure investors that deflation will be held at bay. But there had been talk that the Fed would take other actions to stimulate the economy. And they said they would pass on that for now. No thanks. The only other thing the Fed could do is buy paper off the market to reduce supply and inflate the value of existing holdings. Sweet, if you don't mind that they would just be printing money and passing it out to rich people. The same people that call Obama a wealth redistributing socialist want billions in free money printed for them because they can't drive the price up on their own. Surprisingly, the Fed said no this time. So for now, Wall Street is languishing in the doldrums, just like Main Street. You see, besides the money supply, an economy needs to actually circulate the money, or the economy can start to slow down and grind to a halt. On Main Street, the workers make things, get paid, go buy other things, and the people selling those things hire more workers. You get the idea. Wall Street works by convincing people that the products that they sell, things don't really represent anything tangible, that the products they sell, that these things will continue to go up in value and do that endlessly. You get the problem with that idea. If you don't, you're Republican. Banks aren't loaning money because they can make more money doing high-speed stock trading. Corporations are now sitting on $1 trillion in cash because they are sure the stock market is going to crash and they can buy their own stock back for 10 cents on the dollar and make a killing when it rebounds, assuming there is a rebound. The Fed, refusing to bail them out, may force them to consider making loans and building factories. Maybe, unless they come up with a better scheme. To end on a bit of good news here, Obama is giving Larry Summers the boot. He's the economic advisor who was a prominent player in the Clinton administration's deregulation of Wall Street. Okay, he's quitting to spend more time in academia. Elizabeth Warren in, Larry Summers out. Sounds good. If the rumor the corporate media is circulating isn't true, that Obama is looking for a corporate hack to replace him. Likely it's something corporate America is wishing for and not something they know for a fact. Elizabeth Warren was a surprise. Maybe there will be more surprises. PrairieNumeral2.com. I hope you people go to his website. Wall Street whiners, that's what the subject line of this email from Andrew in Chicago. Mike, the amount of whining that is coming from these Wall Streeters and top 1%ers is unbelievable. There are more people than ever losing their homes or forced to eat cat food because they can't afford anything else. 1 in 7 people face this fate and 1 in 5 children. Yet the people that are bitching and complaining the most and wallowing in self-pity are the lying, thieving Wall Streeters that might have to face a minuscule tax increase. And yet the teabaggers are still so quick to defend these people's complaining. I swear, the baggers are suffering from some strange form of Stockholm Syndrome. Mark Morford got it perfect in his article equating these rallies to the opposite of the French Revolution. Morford wrote, quote, "It's like a French Revolution in reverse in which the workers come pouring down the street screaming, 'More power to the aristocracy!'" End quote. Couldn't have said it better myself. Andrew in Chicago. Yeah. the teabaggers are really a piece of work, aren't they? Where did I hear they, most of them possess a seventh grade understanding of the Constitution and a zero sense of sophistication where it concerns the political process. And you put those two together and you get Sarah Palin, you get Christine O'Donnell, you get Sean Hannity, you get Glenn Beck. I got an invitation from the Fox Business Channel today, right, Kathy? Some producer at the Fox Business Channel sent me an email asking if I would like to participate on a regular panel discussion about how politics and business intersect. It was all I could do to not write back and use several variations of the F word, but Kathy, being the person who kind of looks at these emails when I respond, convinced me to do otherwise. So I wrote back and said, listen, I want nothing to do with your boy Rupert Murdoch, not directly, not indirectly, not even remotely, ever, under any circumstances. I wanted to add, now get your scrawny ass off my email. But Kathy said no. All right, we have a break coming up here. Stick around. We have miles to go before we sleep. And I've got some stuff coming up that, well, it's right here, that you're probably not going to, well, I don't think you're going to be surprised, but I doubt if you'll like it. Of course, there's not much on this program that anybody does like, right? Except sane people. All right, stay there. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. You enough last hour. Okay, I'll see what I can do this hour. All right. 7 past the hour. Malloy program. I got an email last night from, late last night from Dennis in Seminole, Florida. And he mentions something that we've been showing Molly for the past couple of nights. The sun sets here in Atlanta this time of year around 8 o'clock, and Molly doesn't really go to sleep till about 8:30. By about 8:15, it's pretty dark. And especially this past weekend, we showed it to her. Jupiter right now is the brightest object in the night sky other than the moon. It's enormous. And we've been showing it to Molly and explaining to her, you know, it's a planet, not a star, yada, yada. But Dennis in Seminole writes to Mike, if you get a chance to pass this on to the truth seekers, if they look up straight up in the sky in the midheaven right now, they will see the moon. That was last night. Just to the east, what looks like a giant star is Jupiter at its closest and brightest. It will be for 12 years until 2022. Over the next few nights, they will get closer and closer, making an ever more beautiful sight. Just to think, our ancestors have seen this, along with so many other incredible astronomical phenomena from the time mankind has looked up. And that was the part, because it didn't occur to me until Dennis wrote it. If you go outside right now and take a look, if there's no clouds for you, you'll see this. As long as you're listening in the... You have to be in the northern hemisphere? I don't know. But if you take a look up right now, you'll see this bright object, Jupiter. But what Dennis said was the part that, that last line, it hadn't occurred to me that ever since there's been humans, they've looked up and seen that. Ew. I just find that, I don't know, that's kind of an impressive thing to say, don't you think? Last night, there were a couple of things that I had mentioned. One was about Christopher Hitchens. Pray for Hitchens Day or something, and Hitchens is giving the whole crazy religious community the middle finger. And I talked about it for a second last night, and I get this email from Jean-Claude today, an email with which I completely agree. Dear Mike, I wish more writers and commentators on the left would recall just what a large part Christopher Hitchens assigned himself in the campaign for the invasion of Iraq. Very true. He was frequently featured on shows that never would have had him on prior to his support for the Iraqi invasion, or the Iraq invasion, precisely in order to sneer at anti-war activists as appeasers or Stalinists. But this particularly ugly choice, his decision to back the invasion and occupation of Iraq, if not forgiven, appears to have been flushed down the memory hole, along with his general decision at the time to join the neocons and rebrand himself as a sort of Orwell combating his old socialist mates. By his own standard, Hitchens was a complete failure, a collaborator with the fundamentalist junta in the U.S. in his last years, and the imperialist murderers, which, according to his supposed convictions, he should have attacked. Really, if this nasty, hypocritical, opportunist souse is to be remembered for his boldness in opposing religion, then the secular cause is in a very bad way indeed. A bit exasperatedly yours, Jean-Claude. Very true. It is very true. One of the most shocking things, this is right around the time that Hitchens, I believe, if I remember correctly, this is around the time Hitchens broke off his relationship with The Nation magazine. because the official position, editorial position of The Nation, and I will make a sweeping statement that may or may not be true, 100% of its editorial was adamantly, seriously, furiously opposed to the Bush-Cheney invasion and occupation of Iraq. And Hitchens took the other point of view that Islam was a globalist threat. The Shia minority in Iraq was being butchered and would be continue to be butchered by the Saddam Hussein regime. His refusal to acknowledge that the only way Saddam came to power and remained in power all those years was through the support, active, overt, and covert support of the United States, I thought was appalling. I really did. There's a lot of people on the left that really pissed me off. His ex-wife kind of made the point, I think, that like a lot of so-called liberals or leftists, to use a more internationalist term, leftists of his particular age group, as they approach their own or deal with their own mortality. Now I'm not talking about the discovery that he has probably terminal cancer, but mortality in the sense of how old they are. You know, a lot of the leftist people get into their early, they hit 60. And there's a lot that they wish they would have done differently. As we can say that about everybody. But one of the things so many leftists wish they had done differently was, especially if they're European, as Hitchens was, British, was to have served in somebody's military, to have experienced the excitement to these people that comes from battle. The assumption always being that they never would have been killed, that they never would have had half their brains shot away or limbs blown off, or left a whole family behind, children, spouse. Hitchens, and I think this is typically British, maybe not, just my prejudice, I guess. Hitchens had a very romantic idea of war after he had missed his opportunity to pick up a weapon and go involve himself directly. And I think a lot of international leftists do that. I really do. And a lot of leftists in this country. Not so much here, because we do not have a real leftist tradition in the United States. We don't. We simply don't. We have a liberal tradition. We have we don't have a socialist or a leftist tradition as most European countries and Latin American countries do, as reflected in art, literature, music, especially from Latin America. But I digress. So Hitchens' support, unqualified at the time of the United States invasion, illegal, legal, didn't make any difference. His ex-wife, now ex-wife, seemed to feel at the time that it had something to do, in her conversations with him, had something to do with his nostalgia for combat that he had never experienced. And therefore, with his adopted country, the United States, leading the charge into the war crimes that we committed, Hitchens was more than happy to sign on as an essayist or a polemicist or someone who would say, yes, this is the thing to do. And to me, that was disgusting. It really was. That was about the time that I realized once again that a hero ain't nothing but a sandwich. I had a lot of respect, if not hero worship or fan worship, for Christopher Hitchens and his writing and his attitude and his posture and his cultural milieu, all of it. I thought, well, oh, God, if I could be like anybody, wouldn't it be fun to be like Christopher Hitchens? I wasn't too crazy about his bisexuality, but his, you know. And then when he came out with his pro-war attitude, lost it with me. Anyway, thanks, Jean-Claude. You make a good point. I'm glad you did. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Abandon you, or have you abandoned them? From civilians to enemies, bombs can't discern. They just destroy all in their path. Will we ever learn? How many Iraqis per gallon? Can you kill and send the lower class the bill so you can drive your kids aside?
Fun and frivolity with Mike Malloy.
Well, that sounds nice.
More pressing, but that with Mike Malloy.
God, I wish we were like a regular radio station talk jock, you know, instead of this cave. Oh, well, maybe someday when we get discovered, huh, Kathy? I mentioned this last night, and it requires a little bit more attention because we were kind of blowing through these topics last night. But what is today? This is Tuesday night. Day after tomorrow, Thursday, begins some of the reforms that were included in the Health Act. What is it? Healthcare for America? No. What the hell was the name of the act? Let's call it Obamacare, like the teabaggers do. How about that? Oh, yeah. the health care reform law, the earliest parts of it go into effect on Thursday. One of the earliest effects is that health insurers, the insurance companies, I shouldn't say health insurance, I should say the insurance companies that provide money to pay bills, doctor bills, hospital bills, they can no longer not include children with pre-existing conditions. Now, you know, anybody who in this country who would argue against that, who would say, well, no, insurance companies should have the right to deny coverage to children who have pre-existing conditions. They just should have the right to do that, is, in my opinion, a miserable son of a bitch that doesn't deserve to live. I hope I'm not being too blunt there, but I believe in getting it right out. Anybody who would say that the health insurance, these predatory, skanky, hideous health insurance companies have a right to deny a child health insurance coverage because pre-existing condition, to me, should be eliminated. And you can define that any way you want. I don't care. I don't care how you define it. But those are people who don't even belong in the human family. They really don't. So, to all you teabag sons of bitches out there who just can't wait to dismantle what you call Obamacare, go for that one first, because most of you teabaggers either don't have children or they're grown up. A lot of you don't have children because it's nature's way of saying enough with your generation. Trust me on that, you scum suckers. But for normal people, how can anyone be opposed to health insurance coverage, pre-existing conditions or not? What the hell is that term anyway? You teabaggers have a pre-existing condition. It's called, you're goddamn going to die, every one of you. And guess what? Your Jesus fish is not going to haul you out of the abyss. It just isn't going to happen. So every one of you teabag freaks, you have a pre-existing condition too. So why pretend when you take your BP medicine and your thyroid medicine and you go get your EKGs and you have your colonoscopies? Oh, is there a cancer here? Oh, is there cancer? Look, let me tell you something, chump. Your ass is going to die, just like those little kids that you don't want to have insurance. Okay? Have I kind of got that part of this story out of my system? I hope so. You people turn my stomach. You really do. I don't care what your political persuasion is. I don't care what your gender is or your religious belief. Anybody who would say kids with pre-existing conditions shouldn't get health insurance, your parents shouldn't be allowed to buy it for them, you are beasts. You really are. So the Obama administration and the Democrats in Congress passed this half-assed legislation, health care reform, they called it. There are a couple aspects of it that may qualify as reform. Overall, it's a joke. But one of the parts that qualifies as reform is providing or insisting that if a company is going to identify itself, oh, we're a health insurance company, that's what we are, now sign up here. If you're going to do that, then you will cover children, pre-existing conditions or no. That's how the law reads now. So, kicks in Thursday. How are the insurance companies responding? I mentioned last night that when Kathy and I went online, or when Kathy went online a week or so ago to find a freestanding policy for just Molly for the time being. And, you know, she said to me, I don't get this. All these companies, they're not selling health insurance for children anymore. What? Well, now we find out what is going on. Health plans in at least four states have announced they're dropping children's coverage so that they don't have to comply with the rules that are going to come into effect because of the health care reform law. And I'll tell you something. Of all the things I rail against on this program about predatory capitalism, and I know that's redundant, but all the things I rail against about the viciousness, the murderous anti-life attitude of this whole capitalistic system, that one sticks in my stomach the worst. That these filthy insurance companies who sat on the sidelines, more or less, and said, oh, yeah, okay, we like Obamacare. That means we're going to be forced to insure 30 million more people, and they will be forced to buy the insurance. So they didn't say a word about this. They kept their filthy pie holes shut while this is being debated. Right? More in a minute.
It's more Mike Malone.
So, Julianne Paquette, writing at The Hill, points out that the new law, Obamacare, as the baggers call it, forbids insurers from turning down children with pre-existing conditions. That's one of several reforms that the Democrats, like I mentioned last night, want to highlight this week as they try to build some support for this law ahead of the midterm elections. But news of insurers dropping their plans for kids as a result of the new law has, in my opinion, put into sharp relief the filthy, anti-human life or attitude that these insurance companies have. All capitalism is anti-human life. Always. It's anti-life, period. But this is especially egregious. There's an organization, a grassroots organization, Healthcare for America Now, HCAN. The executive director of that, Ethan Rome, said in a statement, quote, "We're just days away from a new era when insurance companies must stop denying coverage to kids just because they're sick. And now some of the biggest insurers changed their minds and decided to refuse to sell child-only coverage. The latest announcement by the insurance companies that they won't cover kids is immoral. And to blame their appalling behavior on the new law is patently dishonest." That's what, the usual gang of capitalist predator spokespeople, people like Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh, this is exactly what they're doing. Well, that's what you get. Force insurance companies to do it, and they'll just not sell the insurance. How's that? Take, for example, my ears. You know, I went blind because I'm a goddamn junkie. I was eating OxyContin, hell, 40 a day. What did I say? I meant deaf. I meant blind? No, which one's going blind? Is that the Beck? Beck's going blind, I'm deaf. What's happening to Hannity? Is what's dropping off? Oh, okay. I have insurance. If you want insurance, you ought to be like me, Rush Limbaugh. I get all the goddamn insurance I want.
So it's being put out there by the fascist pigs on talk radio that dropping standalone policies for children is the result of Obamacare. No, it's not. It's a result of the fact that health insurance companies, so-called, are predatory. They are probably the worst business on earth, at least in this country. Now, before you say, well, Mike, you know, my wife got an operation, never would have had paid 90% of it. Oh, okay. Kathy had a heart operation. Procedure was an operation. Out of a $65,000 bill, we wound up paying about $800. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That doesn't mean a damn thing. The only reason they paid it is because, A, they were forced to, and, B, they make a fortune. Health insurance companies are not in the business to insure your health. Jesus. Health insurance companies are in business to make an astronomical profit, and they will do anything to make it. Deny coverage, cheat, lie, steal, commit fraud, Medicare fraud especially. This is what they do.
They're not there to keep you healthy. If they were there to keep you healthy, they would focus more of their attention, the health insurance companies would, on the crap that people eat, the garbage, the cancer-inducing, death-inducing junk that we eat, early death. Because like I said a moment ago, to you right-wingers who think that, you're okay, Jack, right? But these grubby little kids shouldn't have health insurance because they have pre-existing conditions. You stupid bastard, you have a pre-existing condition and you're going to die. And you're probably going to choke to death on your old hate-filled bile, just like the pig man. That's what's going to happen to him. He's going to wake up in the middle of the night tonight and go, oh, the liberals are attacking me. Help me, wife. What's your name? What are you, my fifth one? Help me. Help me! Give me an oxygen car! Boom. That's it. And open your window and you will hear... Millions of people cheering. Healthcare for America Now, Executive Director Ethan Rome said in the statement continuing about these filthy insurance companies dropping standalone policies for kids. He says instead they should reverse their action immediately and simply follow the law. Follow the law? Corporate America, follow the law? The law is for chumps. The law is for crack dealers. And people who sell reefer. That's who the law is from. For health insurance should follow the law. Oh, God. Oil companies should follow. You want another one? The coal industry should follow the law. Ah! Jesus Christ. You want some more? The electric utility company should follow the law. Ah! Healthcare for America Now Executive Director Ethan Rome said in a statement, the latest announcement by the insurance companies that they won't cover kids is immoral. They should reverse their actions immediately and simply follow the law. I can't get past that sentence. I'll try. He goes on, if the insurance companies can casually turn their backs on sick children now, who will they abandon next? The quick answer to that question? Whoever they can. He goes on to say, this offensive behavior by the insurance companies is yet another reminder of why the new law is so important and why the Republicans' call for repeal is so misguided. Ethan, I would disagree with you. The call for repeal is not misguided. Republican, teabag, right-wing, neo-fascists in this country hate children. They hate their own children. They hate all children. They hate life. They're terrified. They live in their little caves, their little houses. They're afraid to do anything except show up by the tens of thousands for a teabag rally. Oh, yeah. They'll do that. Let's go. All the ants are gathering over here around the pile of honey. Let's go quick. Come on, Marge. Let's go. Aha! Aha! Teabaggers are cowards, sneaks, liars. Health plans and state insurance commissioners in July raised concerns that the new rules could lead some insurers to stop children-only coverage because families could wait until their children get sick to buy coverage. Oh, you dirty, filthy, goddamn parents, you! Oh, you dirty, rotten, slimy parents waiting until your kid gets sick to buy insurance. Oh! Days later, this is back in July, the Obama administration issued regulations clarifying that insurers, the companies, would still be able to establish enrollment periods in accordance with the law. The Department of Health and Human Services clarified Obamacare, as you bag freaks call it, to wit, quote, to address concerns over adverse selection, insurers in the individual market may restrict enrollment of children under 19. whether in family or individual coverage, to specific enrollment periods. That doesn't mean you stop the policy sales. So the Obama administration, once again, trying to work with predatory capitalists, gives them a way to manipulate their coverage, their books, so that their profits will continue to be massive and enormous. And even that doesn't satisfy these filthy, filthy pigs. Now, the issue had largely dropped out of sight since last July. Well, of course, we're too busy seeing what the television medium feeds us. Did you hear Lindsay Lohan fell off the wagon again? No. Oh, Christ, they're going to put her in jail now. Well, on a lighter note, how about what's her name on what's her name? Porter or Outhouse or Basket Case? One of Sarah Palin's daughters that was on Dancing with the Stars last night. Which one was that, Kathy? That was Priscilla, Bristol, Salem. Winston, oh, it's Bristol. Bristol Palin was on Dancing with the Stars last night. And, oh, did you see? Oh, God, I love her. I love her mom, too. So the issue about uninsured children had dropped completely out of sight. But insurers, including WellPoint and Coventry One, two of the biggest, have announced in recent days they're dropping children's coverage in California, Colorado, Ohio, Missouri, and soon in your state, too. Because right-wingers, teabaggers, and capitalism hate children. Hate them. If you know it ain't over till God says that it's over, come on, come on, come on, let's go. Someday, all together, we're gonna get it all done. The world is much brighter. Yeah, we're walking the ways of a beautiful world. The world is much brighter.
Soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy. Do you support
the president and the war for oil? 10 before the hour. I have a hard time dealing with that aspect of predatory capitalism, especially in the so-called health insurance industry. I hope there's not a person out there who really believes that these companies are in business to help you pay your medical bills. That is a byproduct, unintended. That's how they sell a policy. They tell you that. And do hospital and doctor bills get paid to a certain extent? Yes, of course they do. But that is not the primary function of these companies. Again, that's a byproduct. That's an unintended consequence. The intended consequence is massive profit. And with health insurance companies, I'm just making a wild-ass guess here, but I bet this is right. The largest number of employees that work for a health insurance company are the ones whose assignment is to deny the claim. Deny the claim. They employ hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands of people to sit in the little cubicles as these claims come in from hospitals and doctors and so-called insured to make sure that the claim is not paid. If you can, and it's getting, as the predatory capitalist bastards get greedier and greedier, they don't want 95% of everything, or 96 or 97 or 98, which is about what they have. They want 100% of everything, all of it. So as they feel that they are approaching at warp speed 100% of everything, that's what this election coming up in this November and then 2012, that's what the election is all about, getting control of everything. As they get closer to that, the insurance companies. The more they instruct their hive dwellers, whose sole function is to deny claims, the more they instruct them to find any tiny detail in a person's application for the insurance. Well, here, when they applied 9 years ago, now granted, they have stage four skin cancer, 5 months, 6 months left to live, but you know, Christ, they're going to be imposing on us to pay for all these treatments. Why don't they just give up and die? But we're going to have to pay out. All right, quick, check their application. All right, let's say. So they put these people to work on the application. And question 907 on page 43 of the application. Have you ever had a sunburn? What did they check? Did they check yes, no, don't remember? They checked don't remember. Oh, my God. All right. Have you ever had a sunburn? Don't remember. Okay, that could be fraud. That could be fraud. What are they dying of? Skin cancer. Is it advanced? Oh, yeah. 4 months, 5 months. This is what the doctor's confidential memo here to us says. Patient X, Mary Blank, has, in my estimation and my consulting oncologists, maybe 4 months, 6 months max to live. She has requested treatment that's going to cost you filthy sons of bitches hundreds of thousands of dollars. My recommendation, treat her. She's my patient. Damn. Okay. What did she check on the box? Oh, that's right. She checked don't remember. All right. Let's get to work on this. I think we can deny this claim. Matter of fact, not only deny her claim here, but I think we can go back 8 months to when the treatment started and get all of our money back. Well, how are we going to do that? We'll file a lien against her. What is it? Let me see. What's it say? Oh, yeah. She's a homeowner. Is the house in her name? Well, it's in her and her husband's name. Okay. So we have to get this filed before she croaks. Once she croaks, then, you know, her husband, everything probably goes out. All right, let's get a lien filed on the house for the money that we've already paid her. If it doesn't work out, our attorneys can work it out later. But deny the claim and then file a lien for all the money we have paid her. Okay? Okay. Way to go! You don't think that happens? You don't think the prime directive of every single employee in the so-called health insurance industry is deny the claim? Huh? But where it concerns children? Son of a bitch. Where do we live? What kind of a vicious, predatory society, culture, country, community, whatever you want to call it, do we live in? Part B to that question, when are we going to make that stop? Huh? Pick any area of life in this country now that is, and then take a look at how capitalism, predatory capitalism, has polluted and corrupted it. Anything from diet to health to recreation to entertainment, anything. Pick any religion, pick any aspect of it, and see where predatory capitalism has befouled it, corrupted it, destroyed it. How long? This question, this is that Mike Malloy's big existential question. Excuse me, let me clear my throat. How long are we going to continue to allow ourselves to be operated by, not operate within, but be operated by an economic system that has as its goal to see all of us die relatively quickly with the least amount of payout? And I'm not just talking about health insurance here. With the least amount of payout as possible. How long? I wish I knew. All right, we have a break. When we come back, we will continue this lighthearted, frivolous program. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. still here? All right, you only have one more hour to go. So, in addition to the fact that predatory capitalism, as redundant as that is anti-life, the insistence on predatory capitalism that our political system come to a screaming stop while maintaining the facade, the illusion that it's moving right along. Hence, the teabaggers. This is all the teabaggers are. The teabaggers are, first and foremost, racist. Secondly, nativist. And third, the streetwalkers, the whores, no offense to sex workers, for capitalist America. Predatory capitalism. That's all the teabaggers are. Every single teabagger is on the same page. They want to destroy every single aspect of the social safety net, as fragile and as frayed as it is in this country. We are different from all other so-called industrialized nations in that we don't take care of our own. We will throw them into the street. We will put them in institutions. And for the ones that really piss us off, we come up with reasons to put them into the prison industrial complex and jail them. In that respect, we are unique. We have more people in prison as a raw number than any other country on earth, including the 1.2 billion people in China. And the nearly billion, or is it over a billion now, in India. We are the leader as in terms of raw numbers, and we only have 320 million people. In terms of percentage of our population locked up, we are far and ahead the world's leaders. So capitalism determines how we are going to deal with people within the society. Some we will lock up, some we let die, some we kick to the curb, some we use as a means of keeping religious charities going. I mean, it is just so screwed up. The teabaggers, of course, being the whores, no offense to sex workers, of capitalist America, they play by a different set of rules. Two things. First of all, let's take the newest incarnation of this slimy organization. That would be this Christine O'Donnell character from Delaware. Miss O'Donnell violates every single campaign law that she can, financing law that she can. She uses campaign contributions to pay her bills. She uses campaign contributions to pay her mortgage or rent or whatever. She does not keep the proper records. And she dares the Federal Election Commission to even take a look at her. Because if they do, then she can scream, "Oh, persecution! Persecution!" And then the pig man will go on the air, and this Beck bastard will come out, and they will all get on the same choir and chant, "Oh, they're attacking her because she's a conservative. Oh, see, this is what happened. Oh, this is Obama. This is blah, 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 blah." And the whole thing degenerates into snot and mucus and garbage. That's what happens with the teabaggers. Now, and again, if you doubt what I'm saying, look at the agenda of any bag candidate. They want to eliminate the national park system, turn it over to private enterprise. They want to eliminate whatever national health still exists here, whether it is Medicare, Medicaid, research, National Institute of Health, National Institute of Mental Health. Get rid of all of it. They want to end unemployment compensation. They want to end forever unions. They want to eliminate forever food stamps and welfare. Assistance for wintertime utility bills. A lot of old people up north use, and not so old. They want to eliminate Social Security. They want to eliminate, stop, end every single so-called government program, and the Department of Education, which in effect will end the public school system, do away with taxes completely. These people are capitalist tools, purely and simply. destroy everything. Now, this is what we're going to get in November, because all the pundits will tell you, hey, we're right there. We're right there. People are so fed up with the Negro in the White House, they're going to vote in the fascists. And that'll be the end of that nonsense. Oh, by God, we want our country back in the hands of white people. That's what they mean. We're tired of all these social programs that go mostly to the Negroes. That's what they mean. We want our country back before we become a colony of Kenya. Where's Kenya? It's over there. Now, in addition to that, this is on Daily Coast yesterday. A massive, coordinated, and illegal plan to suppress Wisconsin voter turnout. You people listening on the mic, listen up. And if they're going to do this in Wisconsin, they're going to do it every place. A massive, coordinated, and illegal plan to suppress Wisconsin voter turnout in November was exposed today by One Wisconsin Now. Own, OWN, One Wisconsin Now. According to ex-officer, his diary or her diary, the plan targeting minority voters and students is a joint effort by the Republican Party, Americans for Prosperity, that is the one run by the Koch brothers, the billionaires who want to destroy the United States and turn it into their own private fiefdom. They want serfs. No middle class, no working, all serfs. Americans for Prosperity, let's just call it what it is, the Koch brothers, the Republican Party, and the teabaggers. They are coordinating their efforts in Wisconsin. And OWN, One Wisconsin Now, has somehow obtained both copies of the plan and a recording of the meeting where it was discussed. Both available on a new website. You want the website? SaveWisconsinVote2010.org. SaveWisconsinVote2010.org. Now, don't email me and ask me for it, okay? SaveWisconsinVote2010.org. The executive director of OWN, One Wisconsin Now, Scott Ross, said the group will request investigations by the U.S. Attorney's Office, as well as the Wisconsin Attorney General's Election Integrity Task Force and the Government Accountability Board to ensure the right to vote is not stolen by the plans that the Koch brothers, the Republican Party, and the teabaggers have put together. Now, the term for what the right wing intends to do is called vote caging. Greg Palast, Brad Friedman have written extensively about this. Matter of fact, you can go to bradblog.com, and I'm sure Brad has got the story covered. I'm getting it from Daily Coast right now. But it's called vote caging, and it involves sending mail to addresses on voter lists. Mike Malloy, 123 Main Street, Nowhere, Georgia. They send it out to me, addressed to my last address. And if it comes back for any reason, then when I go to vote, they're waiting for me, and they challenge me at the poll on election day. Now, if that were ever to happen, I would just go back to the pickup truck, get my baseball back, and come back and beat the living hell out of anybody that challenged me. Would I go to jail? Of course I go to jail. But I go to jail a happy man. Somebody's going to challenge my right to vote, me? Okay, step up. But just remember, when you're finished, you won't be able to walk away. Okay. Yes, I'll go to jail. Of course I'll go to jail. I'll be happy to go to jail. Absolutely. Because I will have the satisfaction of knowing that I beat the living Christ out of one of these people that has the nerve to come up to me and say, well, we sent you a card, Mike Malloy, and it came back, so we want to see your birth certificate or your voter registration card or whatever. And my answer would be, well, you can't do that. Well, yes, we can. The law says we can. I say, well, wait a second. Let me go get my law. And then I would come back, not with my shotgun, not with my .30-06, not with my Glock 9. I would come back with a baseball bat. We'll be right back. There's more to this story. Oh, much more. Stay with us.
I want to live in a country that's safe, in a land that's clean and free. For every color and culture, every person, every belief.
Show. All right. Wisconsin, you're being targeted by the Koch brothers, the Republican Party, and the teabaggers. One, Wisconsin Now, an activist group, a progressive group, has discovered what these pigs are trying to do. The pigs being the Republican Party, the Koch brothers, and teabagger groups. Caging. It involves sending mail to addresses on voter lists that may have been temporary, and using return mail when it comes back. It may come back with a sticker that says, move to 123 Main Street, or it may come back, move no forwarding address, or however it comes back. The pigs then, these teabag Koch brother funded pigs, then show up at the precinct where that voter normally would vote. And when he or she shows up, how they do this, I'm not sure, but when he or she shows up, they challenge that person. They say, wait, you don't live there. Prove you're not involved in voter fraud. Well, at that point, you have my permission to smack the living hell out of them, but you know, you probably don't want to do that. That's what I would do. So the result of all this, some voters are forced to cast provisional ballots. That's what they wind up doing. They can't vote on a regular ballot. They have to cast a provisional ballot. And that requires the voter to follow up the day after an election for the ballot to be counted. They got to bring their documents, right? Historically, about a third of all provisional ballots are never counted. So, just using an historical result, that immediately eliminates a third of the so-called minority voters and student voters. Gone. So, in an election that's very close, what happens? The neo-fascist, the Republican, the teabagger, the Koch brothers candidate wins by default. You see how this works? Voters who have no reason to think their registration will be challenged at the polling place may not have the required material to complete an election day registration, so the voter will be turned away or sent home to get more documents. Challenges like that create long lines at the polling place as the caging operation challenges voter after voter. They just stand there and keep it up. And the voters put up with it. Instead of smacking one of these SOBs right in the mouth, just bang, get out of my face, mofo, I'm here to vote. Why don't people do that? I mean, if somebody comes up and gets in your face like that, let me see your document. Well, you're going to show it to them? Now, the net effect of long lines, it discourages voters, and a lot of people just leave without casting a ballot. Another form of voter suppression, of course, is the easiest one. When the precinct opens, just have removed half the voting machines. If the county is run by Republicans, if the Board of Elections is run by Republicans, just remove half the voting machines. People show up, well, now how many voting machines are in my precinct? Well, it says right here there are 30. Oh, well, that should be easy. They show up and there's 9. So this is what right-wingers, this is what the neo-Nazi or the neo-fascist pigs do. This is the attempt by capitalist America to end representational government. This is how they do it. They don't have to send stormtroops into the town. They don't have to send Gestapo types or paratroopers to your door with locked and loaded and say, you're not going to vote today. They don't have to do that. Or they don't have to get the governor under the influence of the Koch brothers or the neo-fascists to declare, no voting today. I've changed my mind. No, that's what they do in Zimbabwe or Iraq or someplace like that. No, all they have to do is cheat like this because the American voter, the American people, put up with anything. We put up with anything. Oh, I can't go to work today. Okay. Oh, I can't have unemployment. Okay. I can't have a job. Okay. I can't vote. Okay. You're calling me the N-word. Okay. Okay. This is why right-wing caging operations target areas which vote overwhelmingly Democratic, like Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Central City, and college campuses. Right? Because that's where the poor people live. That's where the minorities live. That's where the students live. And if you can suppress their vote or, in fact, eliminate it altogether, then you win! You win! And it's all about winning! Yes! Yes! Well, how did you win? We cheated! Way to go! Way to go! You're a good American. You cheated? Hell yeah! We won! More on this when we come back.
Ready for action, nip it in the bud, we never relaxing. Outcast is everlasting, not clashing, not at all. But see, my went to do
a little acting. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. So, voters in Wisconsin, you are being targeted by three neo-fascist organizations, the Republican Party, the Koch brothers, Americans for Prosperity, and the Teabag groups. One Wisconsin Now has the information. You can see it all at their website, SaveWisconsinVote2010.org. SaveWisconsinVote2010.org. That website should go viral. Everybody in the state of Wisconsin should go to SaveWisconsinVote2010.org. Caging. Caging is what the process is called. It involves sending mail to addresses on voter lists and then using return mail to challenge voters at the polls on Election Day. Now, One Wisconsin Now, this activist progressive group, obtained an audio recording from a June 12th meeting of leaders of the state's Tea Party movement, Teabaggers, led by Tim Daake, head of something called the Grandsons of Liberty. You know, what really is disgusting to me is the way these rat bastards pervert language. Grandsons of Liberty, my ass. Grandsons of slavery, maybe. Or advocates of slavery, or let's destroy liberty. Anyway, something named Tim Daake, head of the Grandsons of Liberty, serves as a regular spokesperson for Wisconsin's teabag organizations. He is widely viewed as the teabag's leader in Wisconsin. In the audio, Mr. Daake lays out the plans detailing contact between himself and Rents Priebus, is that how you say his name, the Republican Party of Wisconsin chair, and Mark Block, State Director of Americans for Prosperity, Wisconsin. Remember, Americans for Prosperity is nothing more than a front organization financed and run by the Koch brothers, oil billionaires who want to destroy representative government in this country. So there you have the three musketeers. Tim Daake, head of the Grandsons of Liberty in Wisconsin, the teabag leader, spokesperson. Rents or Reince, R-E-I-N-C-E. That's his first name. What the hell kind of a name is that? Reince Priebus, P-R-E-I-B-U-S. Priebus, Priebus. He is the head of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. And Mark Block, state director for the Koch brothers. These three plotting to destroy the voting process coming up November 2nd and whenever else they can in the state of Wisconsin. You people live in Wisconsin. You better hunt these people down and confront them. Huh? Dake on the audio says this. This is Tim Dake, head of the Grandsons of Liberty. He says, so what we're hoping is that the various groups in the coalition, plus Americans for Prosperity and Mark Block, who has been in on this, and the Republican Party, and this is coming all the way from the top, Reince Priebus, they've all said, we're in! Is it illegal for these groups to coordinate such activities under state law? Well, in Wisconsin, in addition to the federal law, the clause in the National Voting Rights Act of 1993 prohibits voter caging to suppress voting. Here's what the law says, the federal law. Pursuant to the NVRA, National Voting Rights Act of 1993, a voter may not be removed from the voter list unless, one, the voter has requested removal. Two, state law requires removal by reason of criminal conviction or mental capacity. Three, the voter has confirmed in writing that he has moved outside the jurisdiction maintaining the specific voter list. Or four, the voter, both A, has failed to respond to a cancellation notice issued pursuant to the NVRA, and B, has not voted or appeared to vote in the two federal general elections following the date of notice. Well, let me look real close here. No, there's nothing in there that says voter caging is allowable if some right-wing organization funded by two oil billionaires decide to target college students and so-called minorities. I just don't see it. Let me see here. Nope, it's not in there. Go to SaveWisconsinVote2010.org. Just do it. Now, there's an update to this. Also from Daily Coast. An update from One Wisconsin Now that has set up the website, I believe, SaveWisconsinVote2010.org. According to the statements made on the recordings we acquired, Tim Dake, the widely recognized leader of the Tea Party Coalition in Wisconsin, lays out the plans, detailing contact between himself and Reince Priebus, the Republican Party of Wisconsin chair, and Mark Block, state director of Americans for Prosperity. To wit, the Republican Party of Wisconsin will use its voter vault statewide voter file to compile a list of minority and student voters to be targeted in Wisconsin communities. Two, Americans for Prosperity will use this list to send mail to these voters indicating the voter must call and confirm their registration information and telling them that if they do not call the number provided, they could be removed from the voter list. Three, the Tea Party organization will recruit and place individuals as official poll workers in selected municipalities in order to be able to make the challenges as official poll workers. It's called infiltration. You see? You see what the sons of bitches are doing? Four, on election day, these organizations will then, quote, make use, end quote, of any postcards that are returned as undeliverable to challenge voters at the polls, utilizing law enforcement as well as attorneys trained and provided by the RPW. Republican Party of Wisconsin, to support their challenges. Mr. Dake verified yesterday in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the recording is of him, and admitted not only that the plot existed, but that the first round of letters have already been sent to 500 voters in Milwaukee County. Of course, it's just a coincidence that Milwaukee is one of the most segregated cities in America. And, of course, the lies have already started. American for Prosperity's Mark Block first claimed in the same Journal Sentinel story that Americans for Prosperity were absolutely, unequivocally not involved in the planning of the caging operation. When confronted with the inconsistencies between his and Dake's stories, Mr. Block backtracked and said he had indeed had contracts with Dake and others about the caging, and that Americans for Prosperity paid for the voter names and the mailing. You know where this comes from? There's more here, but if you want more, go to SaveWisconsinVote2010.org. SaveWisconsinVote2010.org. If you live in Madison and you're a student, you're being targeted. If you're listening to the program on the mic radio station and you're a student, you're being targeted. If you are a so-called minority, that means if your skin is darker than white, you're being targeted. There will be a massive effort to deny you the right to vote. Okay? Now, isn't that what all our soldiers are fighting for? They're fighting for our freedom. And what are the teabags and the Koch brothers and the Republican Party of Wisconsin trying to do? And if they'll do this in Wisconsin, they'll do it any place. Do you not get it yet? There is no other side to this. I watch these sick, disgusting news readers and anchor people on CNN and MSNBC. Well, now, on the other hand, well, now, do you think, well, I think. There is no legitimacy whatsoever to the teabag movement. There is no legitimacy to the Koch brothers or American for Prosperity. There is no legitimacy to the Republican Party. These are terrorist organizations that are attempting and getting damn close to succeeding in destroying the country. What are you going to do? And you got to wonder sometimes, you know, where does this come from? Where does the idea of cheating, where it concerns voting, of using these deliberately anti-democratic tactics, the cheating, the lying, the fact that every single Republican candidate can lie and nobody challenges, nobody says anything except a few people on the so-called left, the left in this country. Where does it come from? I have an idea, and I'll share it with you when we come back, okay? Oh, I'm so pissed off!
Words are meant to bear.
Wednesday night, the Yankees were playing the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. You've heard the story, I'm sure, even if you're not a baseball fan. Derek Jeter, the great Derek Jeter, was up at bat. And the video has gone viral. You can see it at YouTube. Pitch came in, and it hit the end of his bat. And Jeter was standing there. It hit the end of his bat, and he went into this incredibly phony performance that he'd been hit, and he got on base. And, of course, the video shows that it came close to him, but didn't touch him. And Excuse me. At, of all places, Celebrity Smackdown online, there's this. Derek Jeter deserves an Oscar for his performance. No, Jeter did not get hit by a pitch, but he sure fooled umpires, and they called it as so. Slow motion video later showed that Derek did not get hit by the pitch, but in the heat of the moment, Derek took it and ran with it to first base. But not before he danced around holding his arm, had the medics examine the limp extremity, and put on one hell of a show. What really sucked was that the Devil Rays manager, Joe Maddon, was ejected from the game because he knew Derek Jeter was lying. To make matters worse, the Yankees and the Rays are neck and neck in the race in the division. So, do what you got to do to win. Do what you got. Of course. Now, where did that attitude start? That's just the most recent obvious example. The great Derek Jeter, right? Now, how many little kids watching that and then finding out that Jeter is a liar and a cheat? How do they react? They internalize and say, well, winning is all that's important. Mark McGwire and the rest of the people who were in the great home run derby using drugs to get there. You know, how does it? I don't really see none of this happened when I was a kid. I can remember Larry Doby, who played for the Cleveland Indians. All of a sudden, Jimmy Pearsall, who had a nervous breakdown and wrote a book about it, became a movie. Larry Doby, a black guy, and when I was a kid, you know, oh my God, look, a black guy on the outfield. What's going on? And he's not mowing the grass. Those were the big stories when I was a kid. Baseball was baseball. But these swine. You know, Derek Jeter ought to resign. He really should from the New York. Oh, Mike, you're just being so stupidly idealistic. Yeah, I guess so. So, you start there. And that's a starting point. There are other starting points. You can go all the way back to Wall Street. Oliver Stone's movie, Greed is Good. Greed is what advances the human race, which is nonsense. It's a lie. It's absolutely a lie. Greed is what causes the human race to hit a brick wall. It's what causes nuclear bombs to fall. It's what causes attacks on Pearl Harbor and firebombing of Dresden. Greed is not good. But you can go back as far as you want, I guess. But in the here and now, Derek Jeter puts on a show in order to get to first base. And the next guy up, right, smacks a home run. Jeter comes in. Here comes the winning run. Only they didn't win. But in that brief moment, Derek Jeter showed his essential character. And Jeter will wind up, I don't follow baseball, he may already be there, in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Of course he will. Of course he will. Voter caging, to cheat, to win. Derek Jeter pretending he was hit to cheat, to win. George Bush and Dick Cheney ordering an invasion of a country based on lies in order to cheat, to win the oil. Where's the difference? Somebody tell me where the difference is. There is none. It doesn't exist. Well, by the way, going back to something I said earlier in this hour, or last hour, you teabaggers, you Republicans, you neo-fascists who would deny Medicare and Medicaid and unemployment and children's health care and insurance for kids with pre-existing conditions, you know, what is your ultimate goal? You teabaggers who would deny that social safety net to everybody else, you're going to die. Do you have the illusion that somehow you're going to live forever and your money is going to keep building up and you'll have lots of money because all the poor people and the colored people and the liberal people and all those people are going to just disappear because of your political point of view? Do you not understand, Mr. and Mrs. Teabagger, your ass has got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. And you would... How about... Here, think about this. Think about this, you good Christians. Think about this, you good conservatives. How about doing something with your useless life to make sure that the next generation coming, those little kids who are 6 years old now, who will be 18 or 19 when your ass is dead and the worms have eaten you, how about doing something before you die to make sure that they can grow up and have a decent life? Oh, what's that about? What? Oh, that's goddamn communism there. What? What should I do? You people are disgusting. You really are. You right-wingers, you teabaggers, you phony-ass Christians. You are so disgusting. But does the thought ever cross your mind, ever once, that maybe you should do something before you croak to make sure that the generation that's only 5, 6, 7 years old now and the one behind that, that they might have something when they grow up? Nah, of course not. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.